Hey, welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy, sis. And listen, we got a community partner. See, who's our community partner for today?
It's my company, Synergy Medical Billing and Consulting, where we make medical billing simple. I am so excited. You can check out our website. It's www.synergybilling.com, and that's Synergy with a C. So go check out our website. You can sign up for your free practice analysis, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Listen, we got to support, and who you going to support? Jesus Plus Emphasis and Synergy Medical Billing and Consulting Firm. We going to call it a firm because, babe, we speaking stuff to existence. It ain't no one-stop shop, one building. We got buildings, multiple buildings. We got
a
tower of buildings. Listen, and make sure you follow Jesus Plus Emphasis on all social media platforms and podcast platforms. Yes, and make sure you like, share, subscribe on Facebook. Jesus Plus Therapy says, find us on there. Become a subscriber. We are trying to get to 76 new subscribers. So listen, help us get to our goal. We about to turn a year old. See y'all then. That was bars. See y'all soon. Bye. Bye. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, y'all! We're officially a year old! Yay! And look, we're doing this live, y'all, on our Facebook page, Jesus Plus Therapy Sis, and we're so excited. Oh my gosh, see, we're a whole year old. Happy birthday.
Thank you, happy birthday!
Thank you!
How are you? How do you feel a year older?
I feel emotional. Like 40 is an emotional year. And so, you know, every year I release a prophetic word to all my September babies. And I usually, my September friends who are turning the same age. And God literally just, so 40 is the year of testing and trial and probation. Right? Mm-hmm. And so God was like, you have ended your probationary period. And I was just like, yes. And so I was listening to the song by Marvin Sapp, You Alone Are God. And so he says in the song, 40 years to you is but 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And God literally just said, you're entering your God hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh. And then I looked up the word 40, and it was like, it took 40 years for a new generation to get the promise. So I was just like, it took 40 years. Listen. So I was given the word, and I was just like, okay, God. And God was just like, I know you didn't want to celebrate. I know this space revealed so much, right? Because towards the end of this 40 mm-hmm. years, mom had knee surgery, and I found out now, I've always known like there's a struggle of being an only child, but her having surgery was like a wake up call. Mm-hmm. It was the woke era for me, right? Yeah. It was the woke for me.
Or conscious awareness.
Yeah. All of that, right? Like being in the hospital by myself, coming home, figuring out how to. Yeah, to still shout out to my ex-husband who helped with that, because girl, he gave me a number and they did it in 6 minutes to get her upstairs. And not just get her upstairs, they got her in the house. Like to the
dream.
Took her to the room and everything, the fire department. So I'm so grateful for that. So I have definitely had help, and I'm grateful for my best friend. Shout out to Camilla Dion Madison Walker, who went behind my back and contacted friends and was like, hey, Shandrika not going to contact you. She's going to figure this out, but I'm not going to allow her. She's stressing, and this is what she needs. And so I'm grateful for my friends who came through and kind of checked in. Thank you for the doctors in my life, right? And the nurses in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so grateful for them. I'm grateful for the fact that there are people who are checking on me. But this is what really got me. So About 2 weeks ago, I had dinner with a young lady that I've known since she was in second grade, right? Mm-hmm. And she came up to me like, God was like, and I didn't know she was the only child. God told me she was the only child, but I was like, girl, this girl not an only child. Not only she an only child, but she was adopted. And so, and shout out to Tiffany. Hopefully she's listening. But she... We were sitting there, she's like, and I was like, hey, God just told me I needed to be here more for you, that I needed to be the big sister for you. And I was like, oh, Cindy ain't gonna like this because she don't like sharing either. But I was like, she was okay. But she lost her mom 2 years ago. And I was just like, man, you know, and I just kind of saw her spiraling. She ended up, joining a sorority, and I was like, oh, that's good. Maybe that I helped her through this process. And I was just like, no, I need you to hold her hand. And so we had dinner, and she said, Shandrika, I know you'll be there for me. I remember when I first met you. And so the thing about turning 40, I didn't know if I had a legacy. Like, am I impacting the world? Because I don't have any kids. I don't have a husband. Like,
have I really impacting the world?
Yes, that was my struggle.
Let's explore this. I mean, we gonna switch roles today. Let's do it. Let me put on my therapist, you know.
Your therapist hat. Okay, so your therapist.
Because what do you mean?
You know, you can throw seeds and pray that they hit the soil sometimes. And sometimes you don't see the fruits of your labor. Like, sometimes you just be like, here go the seed. Let me put the water. Let me go about my business, right? And sometimes you just don't see it. Like, yes, I'm grateful for the people that's surrounding me. But I just feel like those are friendships. I don't see those as impactful moments. To see it as friends and whatever.
Am I not impacted?
David, sometimes you relapse so much, I don't know. I don't know.
I think I've been impacted a whole lot. I mean, it's some impactification. That's the whole new
okay.
word.
Okay, listen.
It's some impactification.
But these relapses. You know, you had these relapses.
And you know what? I think that's healthy growth.
Okay.
I think that's healthy growth. Sometimes for many people, you have to relapse in order to see, well, dang, I came a long way, you know? I'm not where I want to be.
Okay.
But I'm a whole lot farther or further than I used to be. So sometimes you have to relapse in order to see or actualize your own growth.
Okay.
And here we go. This is my new word for the 2022 and the 2023. Okay.
Okay.
You have to become aware. Okay. You have to become aware and conscious of your growth. Because people can tell you grown all day long.
Right.
And it isn't until you become aware of your growth that you actually say, well, dang, I have been growing out here.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm impacted.
Okay. Well, thank you. And she reminded me of the impact. So she said she was telling her dad how he was like, well, how you know her? And so she told the story, and I remember this, but I only remember pieces. So in eighth grade, I broke my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember having to coach this little girl how to walk on her boot, because I was walking on my boot, right? Upstairs, downstairs, walking on my boot. And she said that her teacher was tired of, you know, her being on crutches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so the principal was like, oh, we have an older student who broke her foot and is walking on her boot. Maybe she can help. And she said she remembered that I would go to her classroom and I'll be like, hey, come here. Like, and I taught her how to walk on her boot with confidence for a whole week. We would walk back and forth, up and down the hall. And I remember this, but I always thought it was like a dream, like I would relive it. And I was like, I don't know, like, this is a dream that I really do that. And every week I would come to her class and walk up and down the hallway and encourage, and you would hold my hand the whole time until I gained confidence and boldness. And every time I see you, I would be so proud. And so years later, we were at an event, and she came up to me. She's like, this Shandrika, I love her so much. She's been such a, like, a little sister, a big sister to me, and I just love her. And I was just like, hey, Tiffany, like, and I didn't know how much I had impacted her at second grade. I'm in eighth grade, just being nice, like, seeing this little kid, can you teach her how to walk on her boot? Yeah, like, no problem. And she said, you've always been there, even when I didn't know. And so that impacted me so much because, you know, the scripture says Jesus could not do miracles because the people knew him, right? They were too familiar with him. So he couldn't even perform miracles in his hometown, right? And so there are times I feel like the people in my circle are so familiar with me that they don't know who I am, right? Now, I give another example. I remember my friend Charles, and shout out to him and his wife Allison. When I went, it was before the pandemic hit, and I went to go visit him, and we were talking because he kept saying, I'm tired of being single. And I was like, brother, what you want? And he would always refer back to his now wife, Allison, and they had broken engaged. He's like, but that ain't gonna never happen. And I said, brother, and I remember we were eating breakfast, and I said, brother, that's who you gonna marry. Because he would say, oh, I want somebody like Allison who did da da da. Well, I want some Allison did da da da. So I kind of like that. And I was like, you gonna marry? And he kept saying, no, I'm not. I'm like, that's who you gonna marry. And so that was in March. So by June, they were in counseling. And by November, they were married. So I was like, you didn't even hear God use me to perfectly prepare you for this moment because I was too familiar with you. And so I think that's the thing. Like, it becomes discouraging when people are so familiar with you that they don't hear you anymore. Like, oh, that's Shandrika, right? And so that's why I felt like my legacy was not impactful, because it's like, oh, that's Shandrika. Like, that's how I felt like people see me. Oh, that's Shandrika. Oh, that's her. That's just her. And so that's just the things that got me. And so that's why I didn't want to celebrate 40. But I'm grateful for friends who be like, no, you gonna turn up. So yeah, this has definitely been a great 40th. Even though I didn't think it would be. I didn't want to celebrate. You got my text. Everything canceled. Just send me a text message and I'm satisfied with Jesus. It's canceled. It's over.
I ain't playing with you. I'm not playing with you. Well,
for me,
yes.
I'll be turning 36 years old.
Today's your birthday.
Oh, yeah. I'm 36.
Lord help her.
God. 36. And for me, 36 symbolizes more growth. More growth. Healthy growth.
Let's talk about this growth. Because earlier this year, you talked about you're going to be feminine and your hair is cut off and it's cute. Yeah. I am loving it.
Thank you.
Y'all know I went Nasha before Nasha was popular.
Yeah.
And everybody thought I was crazy. So I'm loving it.
How old were you when you cut all your hair? Well, not cut it off, but went to Nasha State.
22,
21, 22. Well, I'm way far beyond, many, many years.
Way beyond me.
Anyway, nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Telling my friend the other day, I said, listen, I'm slow, but I'm worth waiting on. It's okay. So,
everybody knows. She stays slow, baby. She stays slow, y'all.
Baby, molasses. You hear me? But I'm in a new season and I am excited about it. The cutting of the hair. Let me back up. I've been wearing braids since this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
So spirit led and me being lazy. I just didn't want to do my hair no more. I didn't want to go sit in beauty salon anymore. I just didn't. So I have worn braids since this time last year. And I just took my braids down based on a joke that my oldest daughter said. She said my braids was falling off the bone. And so...
Why is Didi so petty? Petty Didi.
What that girl? Listen.
Oh my gosh. I don't know where she gets it from.
She said my braids was falling off the bone. So I figured,
By the way. Anyway.
You know, it was time to go ahead and take them suckers down. And so I took them down and I blow dried my hair and I saw my hair had gotten so long, like, based on when I started to now, my hair had gotten so long. But I realized that I wanted my hair to grow longer. But in order for it to grow longer, I had to cut off the dead ends.
Mm.
It's some glory on that, y'all. So I wrestled with it for at least a week or so, probably a little bit longer. So I started just wrapping my hair up and just, you know, in head wraps and just going, because I was wrestling internally with cutting it off, because I'm like, well, you know, God, my hair done got long and I want people to see my growth and I ain't bald head no more. And I really don't want to cut my hair because it's long, you know, kind of. But if you go to a beautician, they'll tell you that your hair is not going to grow healthy until you cut the dead hair. And so I wrestled with it, but probably maybe, I don't know, a week ago, I just said, just cut it. Because I want my hair to grow healthy. I want new hair. And so I cut it. And so I didn't cry or anything like that, but it just felt like a relief. And I realized the revelation in that was, so many times our hair goes through the trauma with us. You know, at the top of 22, like, things were going good, January, February, March. But when April hit, it's like my whole life just flipped. And so, in a sense, my hair went through all of that with me. And it wasn't until I realized that I had come through it and I still had my right mind. Like, I had come through it and I still had my children. I came through it and I birthed so many new things, you know, since then, that I was like, well, why not, chick? If you're going to start new, remember your prayer request at the top of the year. God, I want things to be new. Well, if you're going to start new, let's cut it off. And I realized that 22 for me has been a year of cutting away. It's what the Bible said that, you know, about the vine. He has to cut those dead things off. It's a continual pruning process. And many times we don't want to be pruned, but we do want the growth. You know, we want to be this beautiful plant or this beautiful flower. But God says, in order for you to do that, I got to cut you. Mm. And we run away from the cutting. And I realized that this past year has been pruning. And I had to cut away the dead things in order to produce something new. And so I cut my hair. And it's not the first of the, it's kind of like my first fruit to God to say, I offer it all to you, you know? I'm finna cry.
I didn't cry. Come on. We didn't cry on this good live. Listen.
Oh, I'm finna cry. But anyway, while I'm crying, it brings me to this discovery. Because at the end of last year, I told y'all that I felt like God was sending me on a journey to figure out what femininity was. And so I've been here lately. I've been seeing this movement grow where women are saying, well, they're hitting their soft life or they're tapping into their soft era. And I'm telling you, for weeks, I've been just kind of like irritated because I'm like, it's not aesthetically pleasing. You know, a lot of times we think that something has to be pretty in order for it to be right, I guess. Maybe that's not the correct terminology that I should be
using. To be socially acceptable.
Yes, that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's thank you, Holy Spirit, to make it, what's the word? Is it platable, plottable, something like that? Where you consume it and it's good. Like, you know, we think that we have this false mental interpretation of beauty. Cause sometimes what's aesthetically pleasing is not solely what God wants.
Right.
And I'm learning that. I posed this question to one of my closest friends, and he's a guy, and I said, what if God is using or allowing this soft era or soft movement to ultimately restore relationships and marriage to a point, to God's way? And he was like, I ain't never thought about it like that. And I'm like, as I've been digging into God, because I've taken a break from social media for the month of September. So this broadcast is actually my first appearance since I left at the end of August. But I'm realizing that maybe God is allowing the enemy to use these things to kind of distort what he really had in mind. Because ultimately, real femininity has absolutely nothing to do with anything aesthetically pleasing. And it isn't until you become conscious or aware of it by getting into God's word and digging into it and looking at it with fresh eyes that you see that this ain't of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really has been me just revisiting, because everybody knows, if you follow the podcast for the last year, you know that I have a ministry that I do called Sober Chicks. And what God has been doing in the last 30 days is just revealing to me in greater depth what I'm called to do in the authority that I walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And is basically just showing me that, hey, your job is to come in and literally shake up some stuff, because you're going to show a lot of women that what you're doing is not biblically sound. And you literally are feeding into what the enemy wants. And until you get to a place where you come out of your emotions and really just go strictly off facts, not feelings, that we can really ultimately create the relationship that God really had in mind the day that he allowed Adam to be created in the earth and Eve to be created in the earth. Because we have a distorted view of relationships. And a lot of us have unrealistic expectations. And most of those unrealistic expectations are built out of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been through some stuff, you know, but I love where I am. And that's it.
It's so crazy that you said something in your revelation, God revelation, in our small group about 2 weeks ago. God had me to, so the women were like, I want to learn how to pray, right? And so I said, okay, God, let me go to Matthew 6. Verse 9, where Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray. And so I asked the question, I said, how many of y'all pray on y'all knees? And so half of the room went up and they raised their hands. I said, so where in the Bible does it say pray on your knees? I said, I had to literally go and look. I was like, look at the foundation when Jesus told the disciples to pray. What did he say? He never told them a posture to pray. He told them what not to do. He said, don't babble. Right?
Yep.
Don't do it so loud and in public. Then the only two things he told them not to do, don't babble, don't repeat these words over and over again, and don't be out in public on the street corner just praying just so you can be seen.
Absolutely.
Those were the only two things, and the only posture he said was go into a private place. He never said a closet. He said, go into a private place, go into an intimate place, a place of solitude, a place where you and I can talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Any version you read, right? You're going to read that. And so I think this is the era of breaking traditional mindset, right? Because so the women were like, oh, I don't feel like I'm praying unless I'm praying on my knees. But why? Like, who told you that was
who told you?
Because the way
I think that's what we need to really like define. Who told you that?
Right. Because here's the thing. Or if they told you, where's the scripture to back up what right?
John, listen, my spotted senses is tingling now. Don't do this on this here line.
So I was just like, so let's talk about why we don't pray. Because they were like, oh, I struggle to pray because I don't never have time. So I told them, I gave them a topic and I said, you got 5 minutes. And so one of them was like, oh, I was like, God, I can't hear from you in 5 minutes. What I'm going to say, you can't say nothing in 5 minutes. And in 5 minutes, God can beat to her and correct to her in 5 minutes. I say we are so apt to give God these long drawn out conversations. God only needs a minute. I was like, that 5 minutes was like 5 seconds to him. But because you took time to do it, he was able to do it. And so I think a lot of times what happens is we get so caught up in tradition and it feels normalized and people have normalized and confirmed the normalcies of it that we don't even conform to the actual word of God. And then it's hard for us to correct it because we question the word of God because what we've been doing was so normalized. So another thing we talked about was speaking in tongues. And so one of the girls was like, I say, you have to practice speaking in tongues. And she said, that ain't right. That is not of God. What she said? She said, that's a gift from God. Why don't you practice your gift? I said, so question, your husband is a drummer. If he never practiced, could he be better?
Free them up, Sean.
Free them up. And so she was like, well, I was just saying, I don't want it. I said, so now you don't want the gift. So you telling daddy you don't want his gift because you're uncomfortable with it. That is a gift. You just said it was a gift that I need to treasure it. But then when I say, hey, you need it, you talking about I don't want it. I was just saying you can practice it. I said, my spiritual mom always told me, you practice prophesying.
You do.
Because how can you strengthen your gift unless you practice?
So when you say that, I was reminded of Daniel. Mm-hmm. God had me in the book of Daniel. For a few days, and I'm going to read Daniel 10, verse 12, and to kind of back up what you just said about prayer, and I'm going to read the King James Version, just to kind of make it make sense. But he said, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So basically, to confirm what you said about her praying, the 5 minutes, basically God said, the moment you made it a thought and it was a conscious, aware thought, and when you have a conscious thought or aware, a thought set in awareness, that's a prayer. So the moment he had the thought, God sent an answer. And that's less than 5 minutes. So you really have to read, like literally tear down, and this is where I am in my journey. I am tearing down everything that I thought I knew. Like I literally have really, like God has been really destroying everything that I've learned in church. He's destroying it. Like everything, every principle, every precept, every concept, everything that I learned in church, he said, Cynthia, throw it away. And let me teach you what I meant when I say it, you know, and it's one of me really getting in the Bible and allowing the eyes of my understanding to be open, because many times we read the Bible, but we don't have an understanding. And if you don't have an understanding, you can't move in wisdom.
Yeah.
Let that sit for a minute. Let's say la. So God has been reconstructing a lot of learned behavior, because that's what Jezebel was used by the enemy to bring false teaching into the church. And literally, like, God is reversing all of the false teaching that I have received in teaching me what he meant when he said. So I think this next phase of life is going to be really doing it God's way. Don't know what that will look like as of right now, but I can tell you so far it's been good. And I think a lot of times we don't think that the Bible is practical, which is why we don't do it. We don't read. We don't take the time to pray. We don't do all of these things, but really, if you get into it and you read, the Bible is very practical. Mm-hmm. We just have a lot of impractical people teaching a practical thing.
And I think, and you know, I always say this, we make God so complex.
So hard. You've been saying this since I was 18 years old.
We make it so complex. Yes, and so even in this season, you know, people are like, oh, you moving into your prophetic and God needs you in the house and da 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 da. And I was just like, you know what, God, I appreciate it, right? But you're not going to force me not to rest, right? Like, you can't leave. You the prophet of the house. You the mouthpiece. You can't be going when you... No. You're not going to make me feel guilty about leaving because even Jesus rested.
Absolutely.
And if he's the example that we follow, you have to have a place of rest. So I think a lot of times what happens is we want to use old prophets and not say we're gonna take away from the Jeremiahs and the Elijahs and the Elishas and Elijahs and Samuels, right? Or we're not gonna take away from any of them. But my ultimate goal is they didn't live in a place of grace. Right? Grace was not with them.
It was so good. They lived under the law.
It was either you do or you die.
Literally.
This is it. You do or you die, right? And so we have to be aware of how we move. So one of the, and he's so awesome, and I love him dearly, but one of the pastors on the pastoral team was like, should you read Jeremiah? And God was like, no, that's not what I have you. You're a giver. You're a strategist. Because Deborah was a strategist. She was out of the box. She was a trailblazer. Absolutely. As a prophet, as a judge, as a woman, she was a trailblazer. And God was like, you know, people want to put you in their box because they're comfortable with what they know about their prophet, right? And you may have characteristics, but I will tell you where to go. And even Deborah had a moment of rest, right? And so God's just really been like, listen. And I tell people, you listen to what people are saying, but you put the stuff in the cabinet, in the trash, in the refrigerator, in the pantry, right? So if it's in the cabinet, that's something you're going to use within the next 30 days. If it's in the trash, that means it don't even apply to you. It's in the refrigerator, something you use immediately. If it's in the pantry, it's for storing for such a time as this. Right? And so that's what you have to be. You have to be in that. Is you don't allow people to come beat you because of their convictions. You don't allow people to be in to carry you somewhere just because they've been carried. And I think a lot of times what happens with how traditions get normalized is because people carry us somewhere. We become convicted by their carry.
Yeah.
And we don't check to see if this carry is for us.
My God, today.
Yep. And so we then find people who are denouncing their Christianity. We find people teeter-totting in their walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. We find people questioning who they are and where they are and if this is even where they're supposed to be. We find people going back to the world because it's easier. And it is. And nobody told us that being a believer was hard or easy, right? Nobody said it was going to be hard or easy. All they said, it was necessary. Mm-hmm. And everything necessary doesn't come with a manual. But technically, this one does, right? Yeah. And so it's literally about that. You can read the Bible over and over again, but if you don't have that relationship with the person who wrote it, it doesn't feel personable.
Absolutely.
And so, and I'm learning it. Like, I gotta, before I open this book, let me get my relationship with you right. Let me be able to trust you. Because there's no way I can trust your word, this book you gave me, and if I can't even trust you. And maybe that is the issue with people who can't read and can't pray, is because you ain't even got a relationship with God. You know him. You know of him. You talk to him every now and then when you're in a place of trouble, but there is no trust there. I trust you just to get by. Right? So say la, and say la. It's all important.
But that's where we are as a people. And I mean, honestly, hearing you say all of this is very disheartening that we are no farther, you know, we should be so much further as a people than we are, but we haven't
that's why the church hasn't gained any ground. The church is where it's at because we aren't really having God encounters.
You know, I always think of the church. I think 2020 was like, thank you, Elsie. 2020 was like the children of Egypt, Israel coming out of Egypt. Right? Like, oh, we free from the church. So we got to walk.
It was a mass exodus.
Right. And so we free, right? And we're walking. But now we have to apply the principles of what we learned. But ain't no Moses leading us, right? And so now we're in our 40-year journey, and it should have took us 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So 2 years later, we still wondering. Yeah. So wondering as in not knowing where we're going and wondering what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think these are the things that we stray away from because we did not allow ourselves to be what we needed to be in the desert.
Absolutely.
Right? God told us to do this. We looking for Moses to confirm it.
Ooh, Jesus.
Right?
That's heavy.
Which is why when Moses went to the mountain and talked to God to get the Ten Commandments, they got him making a golden calf, right? And Moses had to go back and get more Ten Commandments because he dropped the first, right? The tablets, because he dropped them, because he was pissed, right? Because he had anger issues. Nobody has gotten angry with themselves for conforming to what the world is, and they're willing to drop everything to start anew and to re-examine themselves.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
And so I think, she said, that's what I mean. And I think this is the thing, everybody want to chastise and believe that this is where you are. But why are you chastising me when I'm saying I lied to myself about my relationship? God, and I gotta go back.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't believe in God. It's not that I don't believe these words. I just been lying to myself because it was comfortable to conform and to go outside of the box.
It was comfortable to be lukewarm.
Right.
It was but the Bible says that either you be hot or cold because
right. It was
performance what he spits out of his mouth.
Right. And it was comfortable being great. Because grace says, you won't come for me. And I won't send for you.
Period.
Right? But I think, you know, as we, the crazy thing is, this is our conversation a year ago. Yep. There's a little bit more maturity and a little bit more experiences. And so it's so crazy how God.
That is wild.
Full circle, right? So if y'all want to know what we talked about in year one, go to episode 1. Follow us on Jesus Plus Therapy Sis on all podcast platforms. Like, y'all, we literally on all podcast platforms. Mm-hmm. Every platform I can find, we on.
We on it.
If we ain't got to pay for it, we on it, okay? We got to pay for it, we got to pray about it, okay? I was just saying. So here's the crazy thing. We don't know what season 5 is going to look like. And season 5 is going to conclude. And we'll be back after the end of season 5. We'll be back next year. But I really realized, like, when y'all, I don't know, y'all listen to episode 1, you will hear about me struggling to get sent into this place. But now we're here. And like, she'd be like, what we doing? Where we going? Even in her time out, she's like, thank you. Thank you. And I'm like, girl, no thanks. Like, I'm grateful for all the guests, all the men and brothers who came through. Thank y'all so much. And even the brother who, like, y'all brothers, y'all came through. And I am so appreciative for your vulnerability and your transparency. Shout out to Andrew, Patrick, Dore, Wilson, a whole brand, y'all. He came on for 2 episodes, and so if you missed him, y'all can go back and listen to him. The pre-show was, y'all, the pre-show was ridiculous. Like, pre-show crazy. And so we hope that he's listening, because we are so grateful for him. He definitely burst some things out of us also to really dive in a little bit deeper. So we hope that the fruits of that labor and that conversation you will see in season 5. And y'all get to see us live and in person doing what we do. And of course, this recording will be on a podcast as well. We're so grateful. Listen, y'all looking at us, and if y'all know us in person, y'all seen us in person, because there's some people on here, they know us, right? They seen us. They'd have sat down and had conversations with us and be like, y'all be the whole show. You know, or they've seen our lives over the years and it's like, when y'all gonna do this again?
Yeah.
Y'all better support our podcast. We had these conversations all the time. And so if you know us for our birthday, because today is our birthdays. For our birthdays, we want y'all to get us up there. We want at least, let's see, what's 40 plus 36? 76. We want 76 new subscribers.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
And if we want to, we can get to 100. So I need y'all to like, share, comment. I need y'all to subscribe here on Facebook. And then I need y'all to go to one of y'all podcast platforms. Look for Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Y'all see us. Look for that. That's the banner. Look for that. You see that? Hey. Okay. Look for Jesus Plus Therapy Sis on all your podcast platforms and get us to 76 subscribers. Listen, if y'all get us past that, we are totally grateful, but 76 is the number. It's the magic number. Okay, so this is our new chapter. We're so excited to have you again join us on this journey. Y'all, this is just the beginning of this journey. We're going to reflect back and we're going to listen to this episode next year when we turn 2, and we're going to see another level of growth, right?
Absolutely.
So listen, happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to us. Hey. Happy birthday to us. And we hope, and happy birthday to everybody born on September 26th.
Yes.
Happy birthday to all of y'all. I know multiple people born on our birthday. So I am so grateful to have them in my life. So happy birthday, September 26th, babies. Y'all are the bomb.com.
The world changes for real.
Yes, trailblazers, yes, listen, indeed. Affirmers, listen, yes. Intercessors, prophetic people, you are the greats of the greats. Yep, yes, we're a little biased. just like this, mate. But no, we are eternally grateful. So y'all, make sure y'all like, share, subscribe. Y'all can tag people in his lives. Tell us happy birthday in the comments. Yes. Happy birthday to us. Yes. Thank you for your happy birthday comments. We got it. Thank y'all so much. We totally appreciate you. Make sure you follow us. Even though Sandy's off social media, you can still follow her, because she has plenty of content that you can watch. She's already posted on Sober Chicks.
Yes, and you can always join our private community by getting on Facebook and searching Sober Chicks, SOBERCICS.
Right, because I get it wrong calling that.
You can join the conversation. I tell people all the time, I'm not going to minister to you, but you can do life with me. And as long as you do life with me, it'll happen organically.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I have known her. You're 36. I have known her for almost 20 years, y'all. Oh my gosh. 18 years.
And I growed up a lot.
18 years later, y'all. And that's what life really looks like when you say you're going to do life with someone, you got to do life with someone.
Yep.
And that's in all areas and all facets. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is definitely life doing and life growing. Like, she's part of the package. And when I get married again, she come with the package, right? In the three. Including my mama. God pray for me. Also, if you are only child, go to Only Child Support Group. I literally started Only Child Support Group. So if you are only child, go on Facebook and search for Only Child Support Group. We are trying to grow that community. Listen, these only children, baby, y'all don't know about us. We strong. We like superheroes and we don't even know it. Listen, after this month, I'm a superhero. Call me Super Sean, because baby, I'm bomb, okay? Because listen, you see that Super Sean, because baby, I am the bomb. That is gonna be my slogan.
Super Sean, I'm not playing with you. I'm not
Super Sean, because I am the bomb. But listen, I am so excited for us turning a year. I think I need to make sure my mom's committed to it.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all, I got to go. Let me go be a daughter. Let me go shake.
Until next time.
Bye.